See what we can find Mr. Jay Harper doing in his yard this morning. Good morning, Arizona homeowners. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 28 years. And Jay Harper joins us on Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock to talk landscape and gardening needs. Today's broadcast is live at the Lone Butte location of Oldcastle Superlight Manufacturing Plant. They make a lot of Belgard pavers here. They make a lot of Echelon products. We've got a Miramix. We have, and of course, your 8816 concrete masonry unit. And that's what today's is all about. The fastest trowel on the block. They have masons from all over the state come and compete. We'll actually have a representative here later talking about everything that they are judged on. Competition starts at 9. Is it 9 or 10? I just saw the lineup over there. But there's a number of different competitions going on. There's a fastest trial competition, then there's the old school fastest trial competition, then there's the masonry skills competition. So we'll get a representative here a little bit later, just to talk about all the different things and what they're competing on. It's a great display of masonry and the superior building product that it is. If you'd like to join the conversation or have a landscape and gardening question, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text questions to 411-923 or email info@rosieonthehouse.com. Good morning, Mr. Harper.
Hello. It sounds like somebody's having fun with their little horn there.
They got the forklifts running around, putting block here, putting block there, getting the mud moved here.
So what's the old school?
It's a production. I don't know.
I thought that was maybe
I don't know.
What your dad was going to enter into.
Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe it's a seniors.
Seniors event.
Seniors class.
Okay, gotcha. You know, if anybody was wondering if fall was ever going to get here, I think it arrived the last few days. It's beautiful outside. We're going to be in the 80s all the rest of the weekend, and I think we're done with that 90-degree. I love 90-degree weather, but a lot of people were kind of complaining that it's a little warm for late October. And I think that beautiful 80-degree, 70-80-degree weather that we think about when we think fall, cool, crisp mornings is here. And that means it's perfect time to get those winter, fall gardening projects going, especially if you're going to want to have it look good by Thanksgiving. That's coming up. It's sneaking up on us. So you better get going.
Gosh, that's hard to think. Another Thanksgiving already right here on top of us.
I know it. You know, we just seemed like it was 4th of July the other day, and now here we are in November and, you know, a little over three weeks till Thanksgiving, and got to get ready for all those relatives that are going to get out of Dodge, get out of that snow and cold weather, and although I don't think it's been very cold anywhere yet, but it will be. They can come down and visit, and you want the place to look good. So your winter lawns, if you haven't put them in, you can still get those in. If you have, you should be fertilizing them. Winter vegetable gardens, right smack dab in the middle of all the winter vegetable gardening. So any of those leafy greens or those root crops or, you know, stem things, coal crops like broccoli and cauliflowers, it's a great time to plant those. And, of course, all of the, you know, we're in our glory as far as color now. So winter color like geraniums and petunias and pansies and snapdragons and all of the beautiful annuals that we have. And last but not certainly least, if you were going to plant a shade tree, don't wait till spring to do it. Do it now. Get them in now. The soil is warm. They'll get rooted. It's a lot easier to dig. You don't sweat as much. The tree doesn't transpire and wilt as easy. It doesn't take as much water. This is a great time to be planting just about anything.
Well, let's get to the calls. Sandy has dialed in at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Talking lime trees. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. We have a lime tree that we put in, I'm going to guess about 10, 11 years ago. And the thing is just absolutely fantastic. It has just produced limes after limes after limes. Even one year I had two complete seasons of limes during the year. Anyway, about 3 years ago, all of a sudden, it stopped producing at all. So the local nursery that we purchased all of our citrus from, and it's a reliable one, I had talked to them about it. They said, oh, you need to plant another lime tree. Sometimes that happens and has to have another lime tree near it so that it jump starts or whatever. So anyway, we had another lime tree planted. Now, I've been told since then that that was probably not the necessary. Anyway, last year, last spring, this tree is just solid blooms. I'm thinking, yay, we're going to have limes. Well, we just got back to the valley after being gone all summer, and I have two of the ugliest things hanging off of that tree I've ever seen in my life. They're huge, like a huge, huge avocado, and they're all pockmarked, that sort of thing, and they're the only two pieces of fruit on the whole lime tree. But they're really, I mean, I'm not sure you should even eat them.
Hmm. Well, are they, what color are they?
They're green, like a lime, but they're huge. I mean, they're probably, oh, I'm going to guess 4 inches tall, probably 2 to 3 inches around, and ugly, real ugly, ugly pieces of fruit.
What kind of lime is it? Do you know?
I can't tell you. I know it's not very tall, and the tree is extremely healthy. And when we had limes, when we were producing regular limes, they were almost like a key lime, very, very sweet.
Were they more rounded or were they more oblong?
No, they were rounded.
Okay. Smaller lime.
Smaller limes.
So probably was a Mexican lime or a key lime.
Inch and a half across.
All right. And you're just now getting back?
Yes.
You know,
we have someone that takes care of deep soaking them. So,
well, do you have someone that maybe's getting all your limes? My limes have been ripe for months. I mean, it's almost done producing.
Well, I have the lime tree that the nursery put in. The other one is that way. Absolutely. I mean,
the new one is producing fine. It's this other one that.
This other one is just, like I say, this huge, huge, humongous fruit, two of them hanging, and they're just awful looking.
Well,
I think I'd cut one open. I was going to say,
bring one into the nursery that you trust and have them take a look at it. If it hasn't produced in 3 or 4 years and you now have this other lime that's producing, you know, going back, you didn't need another lime. You know, they don't need, they're self-pollinating. They don't need, they generally, limes don't have a problem pollinating. Tangerines sometimes do. It helps to have another, you know, a tangelo or another some kind of citrus fruit to help. But the lime didn't need another fruit. So if you have a lime, I guess where I'm headed with this is it's doing well. I would quit fighting the battle with this one and get rid of it. I mean, that's the easy solution. I don't know that we'll ever find out why it's not producing anymore or what's going on. It'd be interesting to know.
I thought
what this
the same thing
new
you did.
Fruit
their neighbors
is on here.
Probably a Corona connoisseur, and they were just taking advantage of the
and it, there's always that. But I think the easiest thing to do would be at this point would be to replace the non-producing lime. I mean, most folks, one lime tree is plenty of limes for anything they're going to do. So maybe put a nice orange or tangerine or something in its place.
Especially if you're getting back this late, like you said, you're kind of at the end of your lime season.
Yeah, I mean, I've been raking limes up off the ground for 2 months and it's almost done. So but they sure are good though.
Yes, they are. That clears the line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you as we move to Dave with date palm question. Good morning, David.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Two questions for you. I have a little pygmy date palm that a couple of months ago we trimmed back too much of the greenery apparently, and it has three trunks. One of the trunks is still producing greenery. The one we trimmed back too far, it looks like it's dead, as well as one of the other three. So I'm wondering if there's anything we can do at this point to salvage this tree.
Well, you could cut off the trunks that are dead and leave the viable one, and you'd end up with, you know, less trunks. And eventually what happens with pygmy dates is they'll probably grow another one from the bottom. They're not very fast. It might take some time. So you'd kind of have to be the judge of that, how that's going to look with those being gone. But in years past when we've had really hard freezes, that has, you know, folks have had to do that where you get one of the limbs or trunks off of the palm dies and it has to be removed and you end up with one or two instead of three. And, you know, it works out okay in most cases, but it just depends on the look you're after and how that's going to look and how patient you are as to how long it will take for another one to sprout off at the base and turn into a sizable trunk again.
Okay, so do we just cut them off above the ground?
Right as close to the ground, as close to where they come out of the ground or off of the other trunks as possible, yeah.
Okay. And then my other question is, we have Bermuda. We're not planning to overseed this winter. Is there anything I should do now to fortify or fertilize the Bermuda going into the winter?
Yeah, that's a really good question because, you know, a lot of people don't overseed, and that's fine. I would definitely fertilize it again. Fall feeding on grasses that are going to go dormant for the winter is real important for them to go through the winter easier and come back next spring a lot healthier. So a good feeding yet, and I would, you know, certainly cut back on the watering, but continue to water it. And most likely you can keep that Bermuda green, you know, at least through Thanksgiving and sometimes clear into Christmas until we have a heavy frost.
And not even a bad idea to pre-emerge it either, just so when the growing season does come back, you're not fighting with a lot of, you know, cheese weeds and all those fun things.
Good call. If we have a wet winter and you have a dormant lawn, you can, although if it's a nice thick mat of dormant lawn. The other thing is don't scalp it, don't mow it short. Leave it nice and healthy and thick so that you do have that protective cover and you won't end up with as many weeds.
All right, George is next on the line, but we got to take a break first. If you've got a question, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text option available at 411-923 or email at info@rosieonthehouse.com.